subject for us to turn to the 12th chapter of Acts. And I will read about the first 11 verses. Now about that time, Herod the king spread forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And as he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he had seen a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." That's 11 verses. First 11 verses of the 12th chapter of Acts. Now you'll find my text tonight in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 14th verse. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now I'm deeply conscious of the truth of God's Word when he said, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own way." And I'm conscious of the fact, and I freely confess, that to be left to my own way for just a little bit, I'd be off course and in deep trouble. We don't know the way, but God has sent the Spirit to lead us in the way. And if we will be faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to us. And he'll lead us in the path that will bring us into a sonship of God, and then lead us on to maintain that sonship with God. We could neither find God and obtain a relationship with him, nor could we maintain a relationship with him without being led by the Spirit. There are too many ways through this world of sin for you and me to find the right way. But God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts to lead us, to guide us into all truth, and to teach us the ways of the Lord. Now we have an example here in this lesson I read about a man being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Peter was in prison. There wasn't anything he could do about that. And there was no way he could free himself from prison. He was closely guarded. And he had two soldiers with him all the time. And a chain attached to each soldier, and the other end of it attached to him. Doesn't seem like a very likely deliverance or escape that he can make. But in answer to the prayers of the saints, you know that can accomplish much. And I've come to realize that in many instances, people have prayed fervently and effectually, and God has led people in unusual ways that wasn't even seeking to be led by the Lord. They never had any mind or intention of doing the will of the Lord or being led by the Lord, but in answer to the prayers of the saints, He shaped up conditions and circumstances in such a way as to lead them right in a way that they didn't know. Now, prayer was made without ceasing of the church in this case, and great things can be accomplished when the church gets behind the thing. Well, you saw that just such a few in this church. But God's word said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they'll ask, it shall be done. If you have two or more, you can accomplish things for God if you just pray and pray together. Now, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. God made a way to liberate Peter in answer to the prayers of the church, the saints. And there are plenty of folks in our church here to do great things if we can just get the church back of something. And get the church to praying fervently and effectually, God can do great things. So as soon as the angel awoke Peter, he was asleep. He smote him on the side and told him to rise up. Then he told him to gird on his sandals, put on his garments. Sometimes it's necessary for you and me to make some moves and do some things in order for us to be led by the Spirit. Peter had to get ready to travel. He had to make some moves. He had to get up and put on his shoes and get ready to go. He was going somewhere. He didn't know where. He thought he was having a dream or a vision. But he was going somewhere and he needed to get ready to go. The reason many people fail to be led by the Spirit of God is because they don't put themselves in a position to be led by the Spirit of God. To go anywhere. To do anything. To make any move. The angel told Peter to get ready now, we're going. So when he got up and got his garment on and got his sandals girded on his feet, ready to go, the angel started out with him. And I believe I can safely say if you and I will just make the preliminary moves and get ready to go, the Lord will lead us some places. Then they went out past the first ward and the second ward. They're in the prison now, and there's guards everywhere. But they went right out by them, the angel preceding Peter, leading him right on up. And then they came to the iron gate that opened into the city. I don't know much about that. I've been told that was a real heavy gate and it took several men to swing it. But as they approached it, it just opened of its own accord. Opened by itself. Somebody said here the other day in Sunday school, or maybe it was prayer meeting, sometime or other when several different ones were speaking, somebody said, the Lord makes ways where there seems to be no way. Well, I go one better than that. I say the Lord makes ways where there are none. Doesn't just seem like there are none, but they're not there. But he just makes one. And in this case, he made a way. We sing the song sometimes, the Lord will make a way somehow. And if we trust God, he'll do that. He'll make a way somehow for our faith to stand in the power of God. Now somebody has gotten wealthy, no doubt. They invented, and then someone who manufactured these automatic doors. And you walk up to a door and you step on a little pad here and it just slides open. Well, that's pretty great, isn't it? But God had that a long time before they did. He had an automatic door here. And Peter and the angel approached it, it just swung open. Now to the major point involved here. It says that they came out and passed through one street. Now the thing that registers with me here is that when God is leading, he doesn't just extricate you and me from our situation and our surroundings and our conditions and just leave us standing there. If the angel would have gotten Peter outside of that gate and just went off and left him standing there by the gate and the guards woke up pretty soon, why, they just got him, took him back in there. But the angel let him clear on out away from that prison. Out on another street, got him away on out of there. And if we let God lead us, he will not only extricate us out of our troubles and problems and circumstances and conditions, but he'll lead us on out of those things, away from them. Get us in a different atmosphere. get us in a different place, a different situation, where we'll not be apprehended in such a way again. It means a great deal to just be led by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm thinking of a text now. It's in Joshua, the 24th chapter, I believe, the 3rd verse. He said, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Now, this doesn't mean that Abraham lived before the flood and that God spared him through the flood and landed him over here, but the margin says river, from the other side of the river. And I led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and I blessed him and gave him Isaac. Now that's a great thing. He led him throughout all the land of Canaan. Showed him everything in it. Abraham possessed it all. You remember that God told him after Lot separated from him. God told him, said, lift up your eyes now and look from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, and all you see, I'll give it to you. Abraham possessed it all. God led him into it. The good news that I bring you tonight is that we can possess it all. I've been telling you folks for some little time and repeating it every little while, that everything that's written in God's Word is accessible to you and me if we'll just press on and take it. He led him throughout all the land of Canaan. God will lead you and me. If we'll be led by the Spirit of God, He'll lead you and me into those places, all of them, where we can possess the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. I thought how necessary it is when we go into strange territory. God said in one text, He says, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Do not know what lays out ahead of us. God said, I'll lead them in paths they have not known. Many times we have kind of our beaten paths around, and things that have been a part of our experience, we get a hold of them, and it is easy for us to follow certain things we've done that all of our lives, just beating out a path here and a path here. We're likely, as long as we just pound around in a familiar territory, we're likely to become self-sufficient in our feelings and think, well, I know my way around here pretty good. And I can get along pretty good without much help in this territory. But God will lead you and me out into strange areas and strange territory where we're going to be conscious. I don't know the way around here so good. I'm going to need to be led here some. But if we will permit Him to lead us in those times, He'll lead us into our full possession of the glories of Christ, the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. I led your father Abraham throughout all the land of Canaan. Now, Abraham didn't know where he was going. God said, I'll just show you when you get there. Go to the land I show you. And he could have missed his mark very well if he hadn't been led by the Lord. You and I can too. Day by day, step by step, hour by hour, we need to keep our hand in the hand of the Lord and let him lead us in the way that we would go. I was in the city of New Orleans. I've been in New Orleans numbers of times, but this time I was there for a few hours, waiting over there. New Orleans is one of the most interesting and most historical centers of the South. I decided I wanted to see some of New Orleans, but I didn't know my way around there. So I went down and bought me a ticket on a tour bus. Got on there with some fellows that did know their way around there. They took us from place to place and around and lectured all the time they were going and made stops at the places of greatest interest and lectured and explained to us what the particular history of this point is and the particular interest here and so on. When I got back, in about 2.5 hours or so, I was conscious of the fact that I had seen more of New Orleans and found out more about New Orleans than I could have by myself, maybe driving around that city that I wasn't familiar with in a week. Or maybe longer than that. If we let the Spirit of God lead us, we can progress faster and learn more and go more places and possess more of the things of God. In Ezra, the 8th chapter and the 21st verse, in this case, Ezra has been commissioned by the king to go up to Jerusalem and has received great quantities of gold and silver and brass and so on to adorn the house of God up at Jerusalem. It's been rebuilt up there. But now the problem was to get there with it. There were dangers all along the way. There were robbers, companies of robbers that lie in wait along the way for caravans and fall upon them and rob them of their treasures. He said, I was ashamed to ask of the king. He felt sure that the king that gave them all these treasures would have provided them with a military escort to get over to Jerusalem, but he said I was ashamed to ask him to because I'd been testifying to him about how the hand of the Lord was upon all them for good that feared him. So he said we just gave ourselves to fasting and prayer down by the river of Hava to seek a right way of our God for ourselves and for our children. And he said the Lord was entreated of them, showed Ezra just what to do and just how to handle it. And as Ezra did that, God escorted them and brought them safely to Jerusalem without any of them losing anything. Ezra sought a right way through fasting and prayer. He was interested in finding the right way. We have a text in Psalms 107:7 said that God led them forth by the right way and brought them to a land of habitation. Led them forth by the right way. And folks, I'm conscious of the fact, and I hope you are, that every time God leads us, it'll be in the right way. It may not look right to us. We may not see where we're going. Abraham didn't see where he was going. He didn't see where he was going when he took Isaac to offer him. God said, go to a mountain, I'll show you. But it was the right way. And it turned out good. And God will lead you and me in the right way. We would certainly err by taking our own way. God's way is the right way. Well, Brother McCarthy lived down in Lewin, Mississippi. I had a meeting there at different times. And he often led in prayer in the services. And numbers of times I've heard him say, and he said it till it hung on to me, said, Lord, help us to see and understand that Jesus' way is the best way. Now, folks, that's so. It may seem like a strange way to us. And it may seem that we're just moving into nothingness. We can see nothing out there, but Jesus' way is the best way. And if we'll let the Spirit of the Lord lead us, He'll lead us in the best way. So God led them forth by the right way and brought them to a land inhabited. They were out there in a wilderness place. But he brought them out into a land inhabited, where there were other people, where they could get some help and have some fellowship with other people. And when God, through his Spirit, leads us, he'll lead us to his habitation and to his tabernacles. The psalmist said, send forth thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me to thy habitation and to thy tabernacles. If people would be led by the Spirit of God, he would lead them, everyone, right into the one body of Christ. That's his purpose. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I'll bring them too. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd. He would bring every one of them, every believer, right into the one body of Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And as the Spirit of God would speak to hearts, if they would just follow, he'd lead them all right into the fellowship of the saints. Right into the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith and the one body of Christ, the one fold, under one shepherd. Then he said in that 107th Psalm, he led them forth by the right way, and he goes ahead down there to, in the intervening verses between that 7th verse and the 30th, is an important verse. But all in between, he tells different conditions that the people got in. They took their own way. And they arrived out there, they followed him to the bitter end and got out there in trouble that they couldn't help themselves. Look at any time like that when people generally have to just come clear to the end of themselves before they'll wake up and turn to the Lord. And be willing for the Lord to help them. Now these folks, three different sets of them, between verse 7 and verse 30 in the 107th Psalm, they got in critical and dire circumstances, going their own way, doing their own thing, rebelling against God. The first son of them said they just rebelled against the God of heaven. Went their own way, but God was merciful, and when they got out there to the end, run into a dead end, then they called to the Lord, and He brought them out of it. He had mercy on them and helped them out. And in this 30th verse, just before this, he's been talking about the men who go to sea. Sailors. Merchant men. They go to sea. There's a storm on the sea. And they go up toward the heavens and down to the depth. And they stagger to and fro like a drunken man. The ship just being tossed in the storm. Just being tossed in the storm. And they're in great distress. Then they cry unto the Lord, and He has mercy on them and helps them out. And verse 30 says, then were they glad, and it brought them to their desired haven. Wherever you and I seek to attain to, God will bring us there if we'll be led by the Spirit of the Lord. He will fulfill every desire. Brother Benson mentioned this morning, and he mentions it quite often, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And these folks, God had mercy on them and brought them to their desired haven. He'll lead you and me, if we will be led by the Spirit of the Lord, He'll lead you and me right into that place where our souls are satisfied, we are at peace in our hearts and in our minds, and we are conscious of being in the center of God's will, our desired haven. Every true, sincere child of God has that desired haven to be in the center of God's will. Just doing what the Lord wants him to do and being in the place that the Lord wants him to be. He brought them to that desired haven. They couldn't bring themselves there. They didn't know how to get there. The storm was heavy upon them, but God knew just how to get them there. And when they called on Him, He brought them. The psalmist said, send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. You and I need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, led by His light and by His truth, be submissive to His word, and be instructed and admonished by His Spirit, and let God have His way in our hearts and lives. Lead us in the way everlasting. Said in the 106th Psalm in the 9th verse that He dried up the Red Sea and He led them through the depth as through the wilderness. Now, I thought like this, it takes a lot of faith to be led by the Spirit of God. He leads in such strange ways. And in ways that we do not know. And we often cannot see the end of the way we're going. And the way we're being led. We may wonder about this and that. But He said He led them through the depth as through the wilderness. It may look like you're getting in pretty deep as you follow the leadings of the Lord and don't know just where you're going to land out there. And that's why I'm going to lead you to it. May look like you're getting in pretty deep and things are getting pretty complicated, but it's just as safe to follow the Lord when He's leading through the deep as it is out there in the wilderness, just out on solid ground. It's always safe to follow God when you know He's leading. One brother used to say, if God got you into it, He'll get you out. If you got yourself into it, just acknowledge your mistake and plead with God for mercy and still He'll get you out. But when God is leading, whatever He leads us into, He'll get us out of. And He'll be glorified. There He said, He led them through the depth as through the wilderness. It's all just like to Him. It'll all be just like to us if we have enough faith to just trust the Lord and His leadings. He said in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah in the 2nd verse, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you, leading us through the depth now. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Oh, you say, well, He leads you through the fire? That's what He said. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, neither shall any flame be kindled upon thee. It's always safe when we know the Lord's leading to just follow on. Father, we can see our hand in front of our face, or whether we can't. Just follow on. If we have to follow blindly, follow by faith. In the 66th Psalm, the 10th verse, he says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, many of us are inclined to say when we have a trial or a test or when we meet with obstacles in life, the devil's doing this to me. The devil's trying me. Or the devil's putting this on me. And the devil just loves to have it that way. There's a reason for that. Why the devil loves to have it that way. Now this text says that God did this. There are times when God puts us through proving, testing, trying, probing experiences in life. And there are times when God tries us, when He sees that we need to be tried. Peter said, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, though now for a season if need be, we're in heaviness through manifold temptation. If need be, that's the key to the thought. And it's God who decides when need be. He's the one that decides when I need a trial and what kind of a trial I need. He sees something in me that needs to be brought out. Something that needs to be manifest to me so I can see it and submit to God to work in my case to liberate me from that. Set me free from that. So He'll begin to shape up circumstances and conditions in my life that'll touch that particular thing that I haven't seen yet, that I don't even know is there. But He'll bring about those circumstances and conditions that'll touch that and bring it out and make it manifest itself so I can see it. You see, all of God's dealings with our souls are related to the action of our will toward God.
There can't be any action of my will toward God in any manner that I don't know exists. And anything about me that I don't know is there, I cannot act, my will can't act, for God to move that thing out of my life. And he'll never move it till my will acts and I become willing for him to do this. That's the purpose of God trying us. Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. God did it. Now the reason the devil likes to have it so that we just lay everything on the devil, and the devil's doing this to me, is because all we've ever been taught in God's Word to do with the devil is resisting. And as soon as we come to the conclusion that the devil's mixed up in this, our wall of resistance just goes up. Consequently, when God is trying to get something to us, and shaping up circumstances and conditions in our lives in such a way as to bring this thing out and show it up and let us see it, if we take the position that it's the devil doing this to me, and we just rise up against it in opposition to the devil, God can never get the thing to us that he's really striving to get to us and that he's working at. Thou said, thou broughtest us into the net. You ever been crowded up in the corner? Oh, I'm sure you have. I've been there too. Crowded right up in the corner where seemed like there was no place to go, no way to get out. But God has his objective in all of this. It's to train you and me. It's to teach you and me that we need some help along this way. And we can't paddle our own canoe, and we can't choose our own way. We just get crowded up in a corner, and we'll begin to look around for some help. I knew a man, he was in our congregation in Anthony, Kansas, and he trained gated saddle horses. And he had some pretty nice ones that he trained for different people. And he trained those horses to where they would do several different gates. And all he'd have to do to them was cluck such a way or pat their shoulder or hit their flank or pull the rain a certain way, and they'd just go right into one gate and then another gate and whatever. I went by his house one day and he had one of them out there and he tied a rope around his hind foot and he began to pull up on that rope. He had it over something up there. And he began to pull up on that rope and just pull that horse's foot right on up. And that horse had just paunch and rear and buck and ready to have a time. Well, after a little bit, he'd let that loose and he'd get a hold of another foot and pull that up. I said, well, what are you doing that for? Well, he said, you see, this horse is going to be a pretty nice animal for somebody when I get through training him. He'll be a nice saddle horse for somebody. And he said a lot of times these animals get out in the pasture and maybe they'll get tangled up in a briar thicket or they get tangled up in a barbed wire fence. And so when they do, they just taunt and kick and rattle over something up there. And he began to pull up on that rope and just pull that horse's foot right on up. And And that horse had just paunched and rear and buck and really have a time. Well, after a little bit, he let that loose and he'd get a hold of another foot and pull that up. I said, well, what are you doing that for? Well, he said, you see, this horse is going to be a pretty nice animal for somebody when I get through training him. He'll be a nice saddle horse for somebody. And he said, a lot of times these animals get out in the pasture, and maybe they'll get tangled up in a briar thicket, or they get tangled up in a barbed wire fence. And said, when they do, they just pounce and kick and rattle, they scar themselves all up and cut their legs and all, and sometimes they just had to be killed, shot. They're just so boogered up. But he said, I train this horse this way till he gets used to the fact that when he feels something around his ankle, and he can't do anything about it. He can't get out of it. And he said, when I get through with this horse and training him in this way, if he gets out and gets into a briar thicket or a barbed wire fence or whatever, said, just as soon as he feels something close around his ankle, he'll just stop and stand right there till someone comes and gets him out. God brings you and me into the net. Crowds us up in a corner, trains us, teaches us that when we do get into some kind of situation we can't handle, instead of bucking at the thing, we'll just stop and stand there till God comes and makes a way through for us and helps us out. That leads to affliction upon our loins. God did it. Sometimes this happens for God's glory and to work out something in our lives. That has caused men to ride over our heads, and we don't like that, do we? When men impose on us and take away our rights and take advantage of us and so on, we don't like that. They can't treat me that way. I buck when they treat me that way. But God caused it, caused men to ride over our heads. He wants us to get through with our bucking and pitching, running around, and claiming our own rights, fighting for our own rights and to have our own way. God wants you and me to get over that kind of thing. And so he caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us up into a wealthy place. That's where he started with us at the beginning. He wanted to get us out into a wealthy place. Enrich our souls, enrich our lives, increase our faith, expand us in our Christian experience. One translation says he brought us out into a large place. He wanted to enlarge us in all the divine virtues and graces of God. But this fire and this water and this being riding over our heads and taking advantage of us and imposing on us and taking away our rights and all us getting crowded up in a corner and these piles and tests and everything lay in between. But God led right on through, and on the other side there was a large place, a wealthy place. And we came out enriched and increased and expanded and enlarged through the experiences that we had had as we followed the leading of the Lord, and that as he led us by his Spirit as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And folks, I want to emphasize that point, that there's just one way to maintain a right and proper relationship with God, maintain experience with Him, live victorious lives, possess triumph and faith, keep the victory in our souls, and that's to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen.